to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read there two places, really. Your bulletin will say that we start in chapter 4, but I'm going to start reading in chapter 5, read verses 1 through 11, and hold your place there if you have your own Bible or you've borrowed one from the Bible rack, because we'll go back and we'll read what happened before that in a few minutes. As you're finding your place there, just to let you know, this is the last message in the series that we're doing on commitment to God and being a fan or a follower. And next week we start a new series, and I'm excited about that one as well. It will be very challenging for us, I'm sure. Life with God can be unpredictable. Yes, God is unpredictable. So we'll study that, and we'll have a short series of messages on living with the unpredictable God. Let's turn to God's Word in Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is Lake Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When they had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. Left everything. That's a wonderful story, and it's the story we can really begin to get into and feel good about until that last sentence. We can say, wouldn't it be great if I could have an experience like that and see the power and the majesty and the glory of God and have him blessed with such things? And then it's that last sentence. What do we do with that? How do we handle that last sentence? I think Scripture tells us here that there's some interesting things going on in a chain of events. One thing happens after another, what happens after another. And finally, we get to the end result, and we can see that. We understand that better if we understand what preceded it. So, as we look at this scripture, how did it happen that these disciples were suddenly so ready to leave everything and follow Jesus? So the ultimate question in our minds that we have to wrestle with this morning is, are we ready? Am I ready to leave everything and follow Jesus? What would that mean for me? What would that mean for you? What's the lesson here? Maybe you're saying, "That's a tough one." No, not yet. Maybe that's right. Maybe not yet. But perhaps Some events need to happen in your life first. And so let's take a look at what happened. What happened before they left everything to follow Jesus? Leaving everything and just walking away from the boats and the nets and the shore with the fish, everything. That's the great high point. This is the exciting time. This is thrilling. This is what makes us say, wow. We've been talking about commitment now for 4 weeks, now this, and we can say, this is what it looks like. You can take a picture of this and say, this is commitment. This is what it's supposed to be like for people who are called by Jesus. They just get up and leave. They follow him wherever they go. But it also makes me wonder, at least, what happened to them out there on that lake? What was going on out there in that boat? Was it something Jesus said? Was it something Jesus did when he was out there that would make them just get up and leave? Leave their business, leave their property, leave their families, just walk away? What happened out there? Because John 5:11 says, as soon as they landed, they left everything. They left everything and followed Jesus. It must have been something going on out there. Well, Luke tells us what it was. And it's that very interesting thing that Jesus said. He was responding to Peter, but there must have been others that heard it. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because now you'll be fishing for people. And I have to ask the question, why would Jesus say that? What was he meaning by that? Well, what Jesus was saying is, you've been fishermen. You've been people get in the boat. You've been people go out on Lake Galilee. Fishing sometimes is scarce, sometimes it's medium, sometimes it's great. But from now on, we're going to not do that. You're not going to do that. I don't want you to do that anymore. What I want you to make is your main business, your first priority, the goal of your life, the thing that's going to drive you every morning when you wake up, is that you're going to be out into the world gathering up people for God's kingdom. That's what this is all about. That's what Jesus is asking for you and I to think about. When he says, follow me, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, make it your number one priority. From now on, this is it. This is what you live for. This is what it's all about, as being a follower. You're out there making sure you can gather in people into the kingdom. Well, what happened? Before Jesus told them that they would be catching people instead of fish. It really began that day with the crowds following Jesus. In your mind's eye, try to get a picture of this. Jesus is up early. He's had his prayer time in solitude, probably. There's a group of people who know him on sight. They just sort of gravitate toward him. They have seen him. They've heard him before, and they start being attracted to him. Pretty soon, he's kind of hemmed in between the crowd and the shore of Lake Galilee. And there's a whole bunch of these folks. Now, Jesus is not unwilling to teach them, but this is getting a little tight. And so if you can picture Jesus lifting up the hem of his robe, wading out into the water, and he's getting right there to where the boats are. If you can picture this, Jesus putting one leg over the edge of the boat, climbing into the boat, and there he's sitting in Peter's boat. Now, if you were Peter, what would you be thinking? He's seen Jesus also. He's probably thinking, excuse me, sir, is there something in there you need? Is there something I can help you with? Or what if you were out in the mall, right? and you've got your sharpened cart, and you're going, and you left your car unlocked, and somebody gets in your car and sits in there. You say, knock on the window. Can I help you with something in there? You need something? Peter actually is concerned. And Jesus takes that concern seriously. He says, as a matter of fact, I do need something. Come on in here with me. And so Peter, okay, gets in the boat. He says, shove it out a little ways here, just not too far. I need to be able to speak, but far enough away from the edge of the shore so I'm not getting pushed into the water, and I'm going to sit down in your boat, and I'm going to teach. Well, that means Peter gets a front row seat to everything Jesus is going to teach about that day. Now, as you're thinking about this, and as this event happens and unfolds, and Jesus begins to teach, and people are quieting down, many of them are sitting down on the beach, and they're just sitting, listening to Jesus, catching every phrase of his. And then there's this time when Jesus finishes up what he has to say, and he says, okay, Peter, let's push out into the deeper water. That makes sense to Peter at first, I think. Because Peter's saying, if I just bring Jesus back into shore, it's going to be no different than it was before. People are still going to press in on him. Jesus is wanting to have a little space here. He's finished his message. He's finished his teaching. He wants a little solitude. He wants me to go out into the deep water so that we can be out there, and we'll just stay out there for a while until the crowd disperses, and then I'll bring him back in. I'm pretty sure that that's probably what Peter was thinking. Peter's probably already thinking, too, I've been up all day, and I've been up all the previous day and all night, and now I have work to do to get my nets ready for tomorrow, but that's okay. I'll doze off here in the boat. So he's in the boat, out in deep water, and Jesus uncorks this. Why don't we throw the nets over? Peter's a fisherman. He knows fishing. He knows the lake. He knows that there are times you get skunked and there are times when you don't. This is one of those times. They're not hitting. They're not coming into the nets this time. It's not particularly this time of day. It's not going to work. But if you say so, and he throws the nets over, thinking, I'm just going to pull these things back up and throw them back in the boat, now I've got to wash them. So he's throwing them into the boat, out of the boat, into the water, and a strange thing starts happening. The fish start hitting the net. And as they hit the net, they begin to pull the edge of that boat down. There's so many of them. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Peter has never had this kind of a strike on his nets before. He's staring into the water. I don't know how far down he can see into the net. He starts yanking it up, and he can see there's just all kinds of fish there in the net. And so he starts pulling this net up. There's just so many fish. That's amazing. A call to the other boat. Come help, come help. The others get in the boat. They come. And as we know the story, there are so many fish that both boats are in danger of capsizing. It was at that point that we read Peter fell on his knees before Jesus, and he has a strange request. At least I think so. He says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Think about that. Now, the question that I have is, why would Peter react this way? I mean, look at it. Peter is knee-deep in flapping fish. And that's what he does. He's a fisherman. And this is the best he can do? Is to look at Jesus and ask him to go away, leave him alone? What was Peter thinking here? This is the bonanza. It's never, ever been this big. It's never been this crazy. It's never been this full of fish before. Maybe there's something more to what's going on here than Peter being awestruck with Jesus' majesty and the incredible display of power. I think it's that. But the quick answer here is that in the presence of such an amazing miracle, Peter's feeling very human, very adequate, very sinful. But before we accept that as the final answer, I would like for us to know what happened before that. What happened before that happened? So if you have your Bible there, please open it up again. And we're going to look at Luke 4, and we're going to read the end of Luke 4, starting at verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out into a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because this is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now, this is an event just before Luke records the boat fish thing. And what's going on is that Peter is in his house and Jesus comes. And Peter's mother-in-law, so I don't know if you all picked up on this, but Peter's married, right? Peter's married. His mother-in-law is sick, evidently very sick. And Jesus is there, and they ask Jesus to heal her. And the language here is just priceless, isn't it? He rebukes the fever, and it leaves. Okay? So many people must have heard about that and started coming, sick people, demon-possessed people, all apparently arriving at Peter's doorstep there. We have to believe that Peter witnessed all of that. I think we have to think that Peter was there observing Jesus' kindness, his graciousness, his mercy, his compassion as he touched them and healed them and blessed them and cast out demons. Must have been quite a scene. Probably Peter knew them. He probably recognized, "Oh, that's the blind guy that used to beg over on that corner back over there. Oh, this guy is the guy that fell off the roof 3 years ago and he's been lame and unable to walk ever since. Oh, that person has been strange with a demon all of her life. Just, there's no talking to that gal." And yet he sees it all. Here's the thing. We don't see Peter in this event falling down before Jesus on his knees, either praising Jesus, worshiping him, or telling Jesus to get away from him because he's sinful. Let's get at this by asking something else. What's happening in us? You and I see God at work in our world around us where we travel day in and day out. God's handiwork is there on display for us in high definition 3D. We see it. at least is there to be seen. God is at work. God is working in our lives. But what happens to us? Honestly, if we're going to be very frank here, we're going to say, well, sometimes not much. Sometimes we're kind of like Peter when those people were cured at his house. We don't hear much about that. We just go on with our daily business. We're not moved to worship. We're not moved to praise. We're not inspired to go round up people and point them to God and His goodness and grace and healing mercies. We just don't. We don't do that on a daily basis. But let's go back to Peter's boat. And better yet, let's go sit in our own boat of life. And you know what it looks like, your boat. You know what your boat is like. You know what your life is like, okay? So let's go back to the boat. There comes a moment when we realize and we confess that we're sinful. But check this out. You are in your boat. I'm in mine. Peter's in his. And we're just hauling in the nets. And the fish are filling up the bottom of the boat. In fact, the morning sun is gleaming off those fish scales in our boat like 1,000 diamonds. And our eyes are wide with how much we're being blessed by God's goodness. God has come through. God answers prayers. This is awesome. And we may be, if we're looking at our boat, and we're looking at the stuff that's in the bottom of our boats, and we're saying, this is way, way beyond any dream I've ever had. It's beyond any dream Peter ever had. In our minds, you and I and Peter, we've already sold those fish at the market, and we're rich. We are, you might say, we're stinking rich because we smell like whatever's in our boat, okay? We do. Whatever you've put in the bottom of your boat, whatever you've hoped would be in those nets when you hauled them up, whatever it is that you've put in your boat, that's what has made you happy on this day. That's what has filled your life. Smiles are bright. Smiles are wide, eyes are bright. We're laughing, we're dancing around in the circles as we're delighted with all of the things that God has brought into our life. And you can name them off, whatever it is you've been dreaming of. The house, the vacation, the campers, whatever electronics it is. You know, it's there. It's now in the bottom of your boat. This is wonderful stuff. All of it. We have it all. And we want to say, hey, this hanging out with Jesus is good stuff. This is just fantastic. Hey, maybe we'll cut him in. Well, maybe we'll make him partners. Maybe we'll give him 10% right off the top. What do you think? Think he'll go for that? If we could just get him to keep filling up the boat, we'll cut him in. It's at this point that you and I and Peter, we look at Jesus and he looks different to us somehow. He's got a strange look about him. His eyes have that certain wild and dangerous burning to them. It's in these moments of life when we see the Master like this, we have the definite feeling that it isn't Jesus calling to follow us, to trail around after us, to climb in our boats and fill our boats. We're knee-deep in the fish in our boats, whatever that is for our lives, and it begins to dawn on us. We're really pretty selfish, self-centered, sinful people after all. There's a time when we're aware of Jesus' majesty, power, and holiness, and Jesus has the ability to bless, and oh, he is so good. And his blessings are so wild and so rich. He knows our needs. He knows our wants. He knows everything about our boat. Everything. And he knows what we really need. What we really need is to leave that and to engage in a life that has eternal purposes. He knows that what we really need is to follow him with a calling that says, from now on, your main business, the thing that occupies your heart, the thing that you focus on with all of your mind from now on, is catching people, not hauling up your nets and filling the bottom of your boat. That's what your business is. As a follower of Jesus, that's what he says you need. You need that. You need to be able to follow him. To do that calling. You see, fans want to be rescued, but they don't want to be bothered. They want to be comforted, but they don't want to be disrupted. When Jesus says, follow me, what he's saying is, be prepared to leave everything. You see, fans want fish. For fans, it's all about fish. Whatever that fish is, it's all about that. Fans love nets, especially when they can haul them up and empty them into the bottom of their boat. Fans would much rather fish for stuff than people. So why? Why is it so hard to follow Jesus on his terms? Because there's going to come a time, friends, when someone is going to leave. It's either Peter, you and I, are willing to leave everything, or Jesus leaves us with our fish, with our stuff. He's got places to go. There's no doubt about it. The boat feels safe to us. Why? It's because that's what we know. That's where we live. That's what we've always done. That's where our heart is. Jesus' mission is not to fill our boats and our nets. His mission is not to further our careers, not to pad our wallets or our checkbooks, not to make us comfortable, and not to make us feel secure. Jesus does come, and he will be gracious, and he will put stuff in our boats. Believe it, it's all on him. We get that new job, we get a bigger salary, we get responsibility, we have authority, and that allows us to get more stuff. And it's at that moment, friends, think about it, it's at that moment that we're tempted to fall on our knees before Jesus and say, depart from me, Lord. I got my stuff. And I'm happy with that. So depart from me. I'm sinful. I know it. I'm gonna take that. But I got stuff. Think about it, folks. We want to be able to say, if the fishing gets bad, Jesus, I'll call you. But right now, don't interfere. And I know if you're like me, You don't want Jesus to leave you. But listen, not to follow is to be without him. Peter knew, and now we know what Jesus is doing in our boat. Jesus has climbed in our boat from the very onset because he's there to issue us a challenge. He's there to extend us an invitation. In fact, it's a challenging invitation. He looks at us with our fish in our boats and he says, "Follow me. Follow me." And we have a decision to make. The decision to make is, will we leave it all there if he asks us to? To go and do that great work that we all are called to do. And that is, go out and fish for people. Bring people into the kingdom. They're not going to come to you. You have to go out and fish for them. That's the way it works. And now this final question. I'm going to let you read that question. It's in your bulletin. Take it home. Ponder it over. I'm going to give you a few seconds here just to bow your heads. Think about this question. Where are you in your commitment to follow Jesus today? You may not be right there ready to get out of the boat, and Jesus may be working with you in a whole series of events. I hope he is, and I hope you feel that. I hope you're ready. Would you bow your head with me? Lord God, Jesus our Savior, Holy Spirit our Comforter, the power within, we come to you today asking that you will take this your word and imprint it on our hearts. Follow me. Help us today to take that step that leads to an adventure of following and growing your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.